World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning here. Show number 2,305. I mentioned that to my wife today, and she said, "Honey, what did you do before you did this show?" Wow, how many years is that, Spence? I always get screwed up. That's like 6 years, 7 years, 7 years, 5 days a week. And you know what? You know really what's at the heart of all of it, don't you, folks? Whether you want to admit it or not, or whether we will admit it or not, at the heart of it is even though we're talking about the culture and society and at the heart of it is really a deep dive into the Bible, what the Bible really says. And I think probably a lot of you, if you could go back, some of you that have been with us a long time, some of you only been with us maybe, I don't know, a couple years, 3 years. I'll bet you if you would go back and you would could do a real evaluation of where you were 3 years ago, I bet your spiritual growth has been phenomenal. I bet it has. And it's been gradual and you don't realize it. But gradually, when we come in here, and we throw a piece of meat on the table and we chew that piece of meat up, you are working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, folks, you walk away here every morning, I believe, thinking, pondering, comparing, wondering. And then when that begins to happen to you, then you begin to see things in a different light, in a different realm of understanding. And I shared in the pre-show, I had the craziest thing happen. Do you believe God is real? Do you believe his word is real? The Bible says you ask anything according to his will and you have it. And I got to thinking about that. You know, it's sort of like fire and water. Let me use this illustration because I think the Holy Spirit gave it to me. If I get a fire burning and I get a bucket of water, I don't have to pray that fire goes out. I just have to throw the water on it. If I throw the water on the fire, on the flame will go out. Why? Because the natural law says water destroys fire. You with me? What if in this natural realm that we're in this spiritual environment that we're living in, what if God's laws really are just no more complicated than water on fire? You say his word and it cancels that. You say his word and it throws water on that flame and puts it out. And we don't understand it. We think we have to beg God. We think we have to jump through all kinds of hoops. We think we have to fast, although fasting and prayer are certainly important because the Bible says that some only come out with prayer and fasting. So we understand that's important. But the everyday consequences of our life, for instance, the law of sowing and reaping, what if that law is really true? What if you wake up, you stand before Almighty God, and you look back over your shoulder, and you're going to see that through your life, you struggled with a lot of things, And when you look back over your life, you say, "Daggone, if I'd have just followed that law, if I'd have just sown, I'd have reaped. It's water and fire. If I'd have just done what he told me to do." Supernatural, see? Supernatural things that aren't supposed to be just supernatural. Bible says, if you ask anything according to my will, is he lying? If he's lying about that, how do you trust anything he says, anything the Bible says? So last night, I said this in the pre-show. I've been waking up at like 3:30 I don't know if it happens to you guys. I've been waking up at 3:30, wide wired awake, man. And I look at the clock and go, oh my goodness. I normally get up about 5:30. I think I got 2 more hours to lay here like this. And I'll do. And last night before I went to bed, it happened to me like 3 nights in a row. I was tired and didn't get a nap in yesterday. And I just said the simplest prayer. I said, Lord, please let me sleep all night. I need my rest. Please, Lord, let me have a good night's sleep. And boom, I didn't, nothing till 5 a.m. Nothing. What if God's real? What if he really hears and answers our prayers? What if there really are no conditions upon our prayers except obedience? What if we just trust and obey? And it's like throwing water on fire. But we've so complicated it all. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Can I ask you something? Why don't we go? Is that Matthew chapter 5? I think it is. Go ye, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven. This is stream of consciousness, by the way. All power. You're the salt of the earth. The salt loses its savor, it's good for them. You're the light of the world. Men don't put a light on a candle, put a bushel over the top of it. Let your light shine before men. Think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I come not. Huh? No, don't. I didn't do all that stuff. I came to fulfill it, right? And then, maybe it's Matthew 7. Is it Matthew 7 where he says, go, go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Go. Why don't we go? Why don't we go? Maybe it's not even, anybody know where that is? Go ye
into
all the world.
Matthew 28:19.
Matthew what, Randy?
18 and 19.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Why don't we? Do they teach that in your church? To go? Go? Do what when you go? Teach all nations. Teach them what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. I'm with you, dude. Go. Go. Go do it. And I wonder if when you go to your local church on Sunday morning, is there a play called, do you leave on Sunday with a go mandate? Or does the church have a come mandate? Come. Come here. You come here and you get all the blessing, all the blessing. I'm on top of something. I got to do this because the Lord really is after me. Let me start out hard and then I'm going to go softer. Okay. I think it's really, really important. Which comes first, Reformation or revival? The Lord asked me that question this morning. You going to be reformed first or revived first? Which comes first? And I don't know if I have the answer to it, but I can tell you this. The American church has been deformed. Spencer, look, let's do that lesson real quick here. Go to Webster's. Because I wrote on this one point, I think. What is reform? What does it mean to reform? Reform is to change from worse to better. To amend, to correct, to restore to a former good state, or to bring from bad to good. So reform, reformation. The American church needs a reformation. Why? Because it's undergone a deformation. What's it mean to deform? We're deformed, folks. The American church is deformed. It means to mar or injure the form, to alter the form or disposition of parts, which is natural and extreme. Do you ever see anybody have a deformed arm? They're deformed? Have a deformed leg? How about this? To deform is to render ugly or displeasing by exterior applications or appendages. To render displeasing, to injure and render displeasing, disgusting, to dishonor, to make ungrateful. The church is disfigured, being of an unnatural, distorted, or disposition. Oh, my goodness. It's really good. So we can reform. No. The church has been deformed. And the church is deformed because, ready for another one, Spencer? Conform. This is from the Holy Spirit. Church is deformed because it's conformed. It's to make like in an external appearance, to reduce to a like shape or form. More generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence of men. See, the American Christian church teaches you that you can have everything the world has, only Jesus will bless you with it. And the reality of it is, we go after the same things that the lost world goes after. But we conform it to Christianity. Right? We say, well, God wants to bless me. See, the guy down the street, he robs and steals and connives to get stuff. Well, we want the same thing. We just pray that we will get it. But our heart is no different. Our heart's no different. And Paul tells us not to be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world shape you. So we're in the mess that we're in because the church was first conformed, then transformed, and needs reformed. The American church, I'm talking about. The powerless American church, for the most part, talks sacrifice and preaches blessing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody amen. Say amen. We talk sacrifice and preach blessing.
Boom.
We seek it, don't we? We seek it. We seek it. How'd that happen to us? Look, I know I come across as a church basher. I'm really not a church basher. They're my brothers and sisters. But I have to tell you, the old football coach in me, boys, you're running that play wrong. I watch Ohio State football. I'm telling you, I'm a coach, right? I watch Ohio State do some things, and I think, dude, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Because the same thing applies at bitty league football that applies at professional football. If you don't block and tackle, you ain't going to win. And I watch them say, why are you doing that, Willis? And I look at the American church and say, why are you doing that, Willis? Why are you doing that? The American church, for the most part, isn't doing anything. Be careful what you say, coach, that the Lord called us to do. He told us to go ye. That is what they call the Great Commission. What's a commission? What is it? What's a military commission? Pull that up, Spencer. What's a commission? A commission. The act of committing or sending to the act of entrusting as a charge of duty. The Great Commission is you are told to go and teach. And somewhere along the line, the federal government or some five justices in black robes said, nope, the church isn't allowed to do that anymore. There's a separation between the church and the state. And so then the church said, okay, well, we will turn inward then. We'll just turn inward. We'll become the salt of the congregation. Certainly not the salt of the world, right? So I wrote down here today, again, which comes first, Reformation or revival? Reformation or revival? Which comes first? Will Reformation lead to revival? Or will revival lead to Reformation? And I don't really have the answer to you. But I'm going to show you something here real quick. Pull up number one. Because friends, the message that we are spreading in the church and outside the church is come to Jesus. He loves you, and he'll have a wonderful plan for your life. Would anybody disagree that that's pretty much the message of the church? If they reach out, oh, come to Jesus. He'll take care of all your problems. It's all about you, 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 you. That was Toby Keith, wasn't it? I want to talk about me. Talk about you. I got screaming. Anybody know that song other than me? Well, I want you to watch this. It's 3:43. And ask yourself, is this, hang on now. Jesus is multifaceted. He's a bearer of many, many different emotions. Just like we have emotions, he was a man, a human man. He had emotions as well. And to think that he never got angry or never hated, it's stupid. If we have those emotions, he had them, right? But I want to ask you this, friends. The Bible teaches, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but it's good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Spencer, Google that so they don't think I'm lying. Where is that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I want you to ask yourself this, because I asked myself as I was up there this morning, do I really fear the Lord? Do I really fear the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord. I love him. Do I fear him? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding that fear is the beginning of wisdom. And do you go to church on Sunday and hear about the fear of the Lord or the love of the Lord? I think it's pretty clear. And this guy right here goes to church. Jesus the Christ goes to church. And he clears it. Go ahead and play that.
I can see. I can see. Who is he, Master, that I may believe in him?
You're seeing him. It is he that is speaking to you.
Here come the church folk. Believe. Here come the religious folk.
Lord.
Make way the priest is coming!
Out of the way! Clear the way! The priest is here!
Harakuk is here!
This lying cheat was never blind.
What?
We of the temple lying? Know that he only pretended to be blind in order to earn his living.
He's right! He's a liar!
I've known him a long time! He's never been blind!
And what's your story? That you can give sight to the blind?
I came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. And to take away sight from those who can.
What do you mean by that? That we who are righteous are blind?
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains.
That's true! Yes.
Pharisees, hypocrites all, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You do not go in yourselves, nor do you let others enter. Blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You bow before the letter of the law and violate the heart of the law. Justice, mercy, good faith. You are like whited sepulchres, all clean and fair without, but within, full of dead men's bones and all corruption. You see these stones, do you not? I tell you, shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Yours is a house of desolation, the home of the lizard and the spider. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can any of you escape damnation? You shall not see me here again, not until you learn to cry, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." For I and my Father are one and the same.
There you go. There you go. There's why they killed him. There's why they killed him. Because he brought real Christianity and liberty and the fear of God. And they didn't want it. And I'm going to tell you this. The fear of God is not preached from America's pulpits anymore. Somebody out there go along with me. Say, I need some reinforcement, Vinny. When's the last sermon you heard in your church on the fear of the Lord? When's the last one? Randy says, put up Proverbs 8:13. Throw that up there real quickly. Proverbs 8:13. Hang on a minute. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Uh-oh, Spencer, what's froward? I hate it when they use those words. Froward, because he hates that froward mouth. You better figure out what that is. Perverse. That is turning from with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, peevish, like a child. Go back to that. The froward mouth, the unrepentant mouth, I hate. Dude. Say, I'm going to open it up here in a second. This is good, man. Pull up Webster's repent. Repent. This blew me away when I said this today. Say, have you repented of your sins? Did you repent of your sins? Yeah. I said I was sorry. Well, good, but that's not what repent means. Repent to feel pain, sorrow, or regret for something done or spoken. Let me stop right here a second. How many of you feel pain, sorrow, or regret over something you did in your life? Not over a sin, not anything like that. Said, daggone, I wish I could do that. Doggone it. And sometimes it bothers you at night. If I'd only, anybody out there besides me understand that? Huh? Oh my goodness. Huh? Well, let me ask you, do you feel that same pain, sorrow, regret over your sinful condition of your life? I don't. No, I don't. I don't feel pain, sorrow, regret that we've lost much time in idleness or sensual pleasure. I don't know. That we've injured or wounded the feelings of a friend. No, I don't feel so. I don't. He deserved it, man. To repent is to express sorrow for something. Genuine sorrow. Do you remember when you were in kindergarten and you got in a fight with your friends and your kindergarten teacher made you shake hands? Remember that? And you didn't want to do it. By the way, I was one of the last groups to never have mandatory kindergarten. I never went to kindergarten. Graduated in 1971. Up the next year, I think they made it mandatory. They made it mandatory because they wanted to get kids younger. Anyway, so to express sorrow, something. Do you repent? I mean, really, do you really? I'm talking to me. Do you get before the Lord and are you really heartbroken over the stupid crap that you've done to offend the Lord or offend others? That's what it means to repent. A person repents only of what he himself has done or said. Do you hear that in church weekly? Do you go to church on Sunday and look back over your shoulder at all the things that you did wrong? Apologize for them. Repent. Because don't forget, the fear is the Lord. So I guess what I'm saying today, I'm going to move on here in a second. Which comes first, repentance or revival? Reformation or revival? Repentance or revival? And do we as a people, do we as a church, do we need to repent for what we've allowed to happen in our nation? The destruction of marriage, the destruction of righteousness, the destruction of children, the removal of Christ from every mention of our schools. Shouldn't we have great sorrow over that? Why don't we have great sorrow over that? Why aren't we driven every day over that? Because we're not really sorry. We just apologized. Didn't really make it right. Can I confess to you? Sure I can. We're having a family get together this weekend. Everybody does Christmas, right? We have a big family get together. I got a big family. Brothers, sisters, blah, 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 blah. Bring their nieces, nephews, grandnieces. All, you get what I'm saying? And my wife told me today, gotta be careful what I say here. My wife told me today, you know, so-and-so is not going to be able to make it. Betty, you know what I said? Praise the Lord. You might feel like that. So-and-so is not going to be able to make it. Yahoo! I ought to repent for that, shouldn't I? Huh? I really should. But it pleased me that I wasn't going to have a conflict and an argument. That I wasn't going to have the opportunity to witness again to somebody that didn't want to hear it. That's really what it was about. I got a lot to repent of. Yep, got a lot. See, we don't even think anything. We think nothing at all about lying, stealing. We don't think anything at all about it anymore. You know, it's hard, isn't it? Forgiveness is hard. Repentance is hard. It's hard, really. It's really hard to forgive somebody who really has done you wrong. It really is. I get it, man. I hope Christ doesn't have that same attitude. That we really did him wrong. We deny him. We disobey him. We're embarrassed of him. We're afraid to mention him to our friends. We're in a public. Somebody say amen. So I know my microphone's working here.
Amen.
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 It's like when I go places, I love to take my wife with me because she radiates the room. She's pretty. She's loving. She's just everything. She just radiates. I wonder if I'd want to take her if she's a big old fat lady with warts all over her face. Sometimes I feel that's what we do to the Lord. The place where he's most needed to be spoken about or introduced, we go silent. We're embarrassed of him. I'm not trying to kick you in the shins, although I hope it feels like it. We need a reformation in the church. What if we stand before the Lord and we see the number of times that we denied him? We denied him. Peter did. Peter gets a bad rap simply for doing what we all do. Boy, Well, I got a bunch of more stuff to talk about. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, there's a great teaching, Coach. The Reformation, I did a little study years ago, and I can't remember the details, but the idea was Reformation versus revival. And Reformation is in the New Testament. Revival is not. Revival is in the Old Testament. Reformation is not. And in the Old Testament, revival is in context with raising money to build the wall. So when there's too much green showing, we got to have a revival because we need the money.
Hey, Spencer, pull that up real quick. Webster's revive. Revive. I know what it is. To return to life. What? Yeah. To recover new life or vigor. To be reanimated after depression. Folks, we need revival in America. But does revival come without reformation? Or does reformation lead to revival? Or does revival lead to reformation? Whatever it is, we need it. Elizabeth, come on in.
I think that before we can have revival or reformation, we first have to have revelation. Because unless we pull back the veil and see God for who he is and see the world for what it is and see ourselves for what we are, we will never have revival or reformation.
Or Elizabeth, the revelation of who he is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But either the Reformation, the Great Awakening, none of that could happen without first having revelation.
So, Elizabeth, we know the book of, I can't remember which one is. It doesn't matter. It does, but it doesn't come to my brain. Did you know that around the altar, the angels cover their eyes? They can't even look on him in his holiness. Where is that? Does anybody know where that is?
Revelation.
It's in
Isaiah.
Isaiah. The angels, they cover their eyes. They can't even look on him. Spencer will find it. There it is. Well, thanks, Spencer.
You should also read that poem that I wrote yesterday.
Resend it to me. I don't have it up on my sheet. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings, and with two he covered his face. With two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. So it's like a bee. There he is, got two of them. Got his eyes covered because they can't even look on him. Got his feet covered. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." There it is. There's the revelation. See? Then flew one of the angels unto me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. Got the picture? He went to the grill. Got a piece of charcoal in that little thing that you grab charcoal with. And he laid it upon my mouth. "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and your sin is taken away, and your sin is purged." So then I heard the voice of the Lord say something after he cleansed my mouth. Put those coals in there, washed away all the iniquity. Then he hears the Lord say something. "Hey, anybody out there want to go for me? Huh? Hey, anybody, who will go for me? Anybody out there will go for me?" He just cleansed the guy, and the Lord's waiting for him to respond and say, yeah, I'll do it. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, okay, who can I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, man, send me. And he said, okay, you go and you tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but you don't get it. So he sends it to the people to expose their sin and get them to repent. Pretty deep, isn't it, huh? Oh, they teach us to love the Lord, but they don't teach us to fear him. Susie, do you want to come in? Did you send that to me, Beth?
I put the link in the chat.
Okay, thank you. I'll get it there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Sue. Go ahead.
Hey, I think you said Susan couldn't make it to the family get-together.
No. Not you.
Okay, because I thought they might think it's me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I said Susan, did I?
I thought you did.
No, if I did, I didn't mean to. No. No, sorry, Susie. This is my sister-in-law. I tried very carefully to not say any name I thought. So, no, Susie. Come, Susie. You're welcome. Beth Yates just put, she wrote this yesterday. Amazing grace of the American church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I get to keep my sin. I still am lost, but think I'm found. And blind, think I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to ignore the call of holiness. How precious is that Bible verse that says to judge me not. The Lord has promised good to me. The pastor taught me so. It's grace that I alone do need and not to change my ways. Boom. Boom. Let me see. Where was I? Folks, look, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm just telling you, we need reformation, or there ain't gonna be revival, or we need revival, or there ain't gonna be reformation. I got a lot more stuff. Johnny, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Revival. Boy, you're hitting me deep this morning. When I think of revival, I think to be revived, to be given a second chance.
Mm.
And that Christ, he provided that. He paved the way for us to be given that second chance.
Johnny, how about restoring unto you the joy of your salvation? How about just that? Going back to that moment when you first met Christ, that joy, where'd it go? It's like, I love my wife in a different way than I did when I first met her. You know what I'm talking about? The passion isn't gone, it's just different. Well, really? I tell my wife, she's up her hair walking in my multi-million dollar store. I tell her a dozen times a day how much I love her. How many times a day do you say that to the Lord? Lorraine, come on in.
I just had a thought about that Isaiah verse.
Yeah.
Okay, so Satan was an angel in heaven, right?
Yes.
And this is something I've pondered for quite a while. So since Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and compared to that verse, when he accuses us, it's just like when your kid's guilty and they stand before you and they can't look at you. Yeah, I took... When you ask them if they took the cookies out of the cookie jar and they're like, no, and they're bouncing around. When Satan is accusing us before the Lord, he can't look at the Lord. He has to cover his eyes. He has to cover his feet. He cannot look at him while he's accusing us. And meanwhile, we get to blow right by. This is our place as their kid, as God's kids, and say, Daddy, Daddy, I did this. Daddy. And then Jesus says, yeah, that's my brother. Yeah, he stands in the gap. How amazing is that thought to ponder?
Bible says as far as the east is from the west, he remembers it no more. He doesn't. Of course he remembers it. Huh? I mean, of course he remembers it. What do you mean? Doesn't remember. Doesn't hold it against you. Then washed away. Wow. Dale.
Well, Coach, I want to start from the beginning of the show, just go over some of my notes here. As a pastor, this show has been impacting me for over a decade. The fellowship here, the incredible anointing on some of these people and yourself, man. Lord, it has been a blessing. I've gleaned so much from here because that is the iron sharpened iron. Now, Coach, to this. Yes. History has a way of repeating itself. If we want to go back and see what comes first, the chicken or the egg, we can go back to our founding fathers and do a study on called the Halfway Covenant. The Halfway Covenant brought forth, man, the deadness of the church. Coach, you do not revive somebody that's still alive. You revive somebody who's dead. And we're seeing that church set itself up into a dead, right? A dead church. Therefore, it is then becoming primed for the Holy Spirit to jump on its chest. Amen. To revive it. Revival back then brought forth revelation. Revelation brought forth the revival, which brought forth a revolution. Now you got a war on your hands between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, right? When you have that war, guess what? You become educated. Some of the best education is hands-on experience. Therefore, now you have reformation. Reformation is that going back to, but it is the teaching of when you first get saved, brother, you don't know nothing. But man, reformation, it begins to glean you. So you have revelation, you have revival, and then you have reformation. Well, amen. Revolution, then reformation.
Mm. So, Dale, we know this, that Satan is the father of lies. That's what the Bible says, right? The Bible says there is no truth in him, right? But those of us who go to church or are part of the body of Christ, we would say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's controls over all. We would all say that, right? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He holds the whole world in his hands. He's in control of everything. And Jesus said, I'm going to go back to my Father. And by the way, you're in charge now. All power has been given unto me. I'm going to give it all to y'all. And I want y'all to go and teach everyone and expand this kingdom of God, because I'm coming back for a glorious, victorious church, one without spot or wrinkle. I think that's all scriptural. I think.
Well, Coach, and also my first Christmas message of Advent this year was Revelations 19, that he's coming on a white horse with fire in his eyes, and his robe has been dipped in the blood. That's
and in
what's
righteousness,
coming.
He judges and makes war. Right?
Come on, brother. This is it's an empty crib. It's an empty cross. It's an empty grave. And heaven is about to empty out onto earth.
Amen, baby. Huh? It ain't gonna be pretty, boys and girls. It ain't gonna be pretty. They're worried about those drones. You wait till the sky splits, huh?
Boom. You remember that old song from back BTO, Beckham Turner Overdrive? You ain't seen nothing yet. Bam, bam.
You ain't seen that. That's right, baby. That's it. Okay, I want. So here, knowing this, how many of you think, maybe you don't, part of the problem, that the church is supposed to be the barometer, if you will, of the American culture and society? Jesus told us to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in 1947, the unsupreme court of the United States said that there's a separation between the church and state. So therefore, let's take all morality out of government. And the church said, yes, boss, we'll go over here and we'll play church and we won't do anything with the politics, because religion and politics don't mix, and we won't get involved with it, and we'll let the devil run government, and right, and we'll sit around and we'll pray for that Jesus returns or raptured out of here, and we won't have to clean up any of the mess. You don't have to say amen. I just know I'm telling you the truth, all right? And so the fruit of that, you want to know the fruit of that? Okay, I'm going to show you the fruit of that. Pull up, they lied. With the watchful eye of the church. Ready? Are you ready? They lied to us about Russia collusion. They lied to us about the Ukraine war. They lied to us about the Ukraine biolabs. They lied to us about COVID-19. They lied about lockdowns. They lied about useless face masks. They lied about vaccines. They lied about ivermectin. They lied about hydroxychloroquine. They lied about Twitter censorship. They lied to us about the fake Steele dossier. They lied to us about the 2020 election. They lied to us about the 2022 midterms. They lied to us about Hunter's laptop, Hillary's email, the FBI and the CIA spying on your social media. They lied about Fast and Furious, election interference, 911, Sodom and Iraq, and WMDs. They lied about Pizzagate, child sex traffic, Epstein sex island, the Patriot Act, the global war on terror, the southern border, January 6th, about Vietnam. They lied about Watergate, about JFK, about RFK. They lied about MLK. They lied about Benghazi in Afghanistan, about the war on drugs, about HIV and AIDS, about cancer, climate change, the Green Deal, the New Deal. They lied about food, water, and cleaning projects. They lied about the Federal Reserve. They lied about Washington Act of 1871, where Congress cut a deal with foreign powers and international bankers and took over the Republic of the United States. They lied about mass shootings. They lied about the Great Reset. They lied about Agenda 21. They lied about Agenda 2030. They lied about the Anthony Weiner laptop. They lied about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. They lied about Waco and Ruby Ridge and Nashville in Las Vegas and Hollywood and Oklahoma bombing, about Andrew Breitbart's death. They lied to us about gold, about Michelle Obama, about Obama's kids, about Margaret Sanger, Joan Rivers' death, Haiti, Hunter's cocaine. They lied about investing on Wall Street. They had Chinese spy balloons, 15-minute cities. They lied about feminism in Antarctica and Freemasons and Operation Mockingbird, about MK Ultra, about chemtrails. They lied to us about Earth, Roswell, NASA, outer space, moon landing. Why? Because God's people who were told to occupy till he came didn't.
Bam.
Boom.
Boom. Any one of those. Has anybody been held to account for any one of those lies? No. How about this? That you own a federal income tax. Lies. Why? Because he is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. No truth in him. And those of us who claim the name of Christ, who were told to occupy till he comes, to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, have not done it. Why haven't we done it? Anybody have an answer to that? Why haven't we occupied? Why haven't we gone into all the world and taught them to observe all he commanded us? Why have we not done it? And are we doing that now, today, in the American church, where in front of us, with our tax dollars, they are murdering babies in the womb? And half the church votes for them. We need a reformation, baby. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, we haven't occupied because the church is teaching everybody that they're going to vanish in the great escape.
That's right. That's
that
right.
They won't have to suffer in any way, shape, or form. And we're told in church to love ourselves instead of to revere God.
Amen.
Because if we really revered God, then we would love our neighbor, then we would love ourselves, and then we would occupy and fight the good fight, as the Lord tells us to in the Bible. But
Adam, those holy angels couldn't even look at him. And we want to sit on his lap. Right? He's coming back on a white horse. In righteousness, he's going to judge and make war.
Amen.
And his eyes are flames of fire. Is that the Jesus they're talking about in your church? If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, why don't we teach the fear of the Lord? Why do we put up in our midst sinful people in our midst doing sinful things and nobody holding them to account? I said, if I was running a church, you're pro-choice, you are not welcome here. Not welcome here. You're not out of it. I'm sorry. My wife said something to me this morning about... Of course, they won't show us the picture of the shooter, right? Of course, they won't show us the picture of the shooter. Can't figure out whether he's a tranny or not a tranny, whatever. Clearly angry. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Well, they don't know. They won't show us a picture, right? Going to a Christian school? If I understand it right, I don't know. I don't know, so I could be wrong here, okay? Maybe a tranny? Maybe? At a Christian school? I'm telling you. The chickens are coming home to roost. All right, look, I'm going to get myself in trouble, all right? I got 10 minutes left. Somebody come in here and rescue me. I'm just telling y'all the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. One of the Allisons, come on in here. Or both of you are welcome, actually.
No, Coach, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you out of trouble and get myself in more trouble. So, Coach, I went to see the movie, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And it's really interesting. There's a lot of things in the story that if you're paying attention, that really fits what's going on today. And I know
amen on that one, Dave. I was conflicted the whole time I watched it. Keep going.
But here's the key thing. What brought the kids, the Herdmans, the unruly family to church? What brought them there? It was the enticement that they were going to get treats there.
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate cookies. Because the kids told them, at our church, we get all these good things, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that brought them there. Little did the church know that they were going to invade their traditional Christmas pageant.
Well, they did, didn't they, brother?
That bent a lot of noses, right?
Yep.
And so what happens there, and what really struck a chord with me, is I have experienced that so many times in church, because being a music minister, the Christmas event is something huge, and they want people to, you want to play this, play that, whatever. I was only at one church service that I really felt God move in all 30 years. And guess what happened when it was? I was a visitor at a church just sitting in the audience at a big church. And the pastor said, you know what? I know what you all want out there. I know what you want. You want to hear all these traditional Christmas hymns. That's what you want. I'm not going to give it to you. He said, mathematically, I see somebody out in our audience, Dave Allison. Dave, I'm asking you, Coach, I didn't have my guitar with me. I'm asking you to come up here and lead us in a couple worship songs. Whatever God lays on your heart, Coach. I mean, so I went up there. Fortunately, someone else on the worship team had a guitar, and they let me use the guitar. And Coach, I just played whatever the Lord laid on my heart. And after the service, I had people come up to me, both sides, and say, Dave, that was really moved me. That was really, that really moved me. And then I had other people say, I was disappointed. I was really looking forward to hearing some traditional Christmas hymns, you know. And so I heard a pastor say the other day on the church, on the radio, the church is has become the great harlot. And what is a harlot? A harlot, a person goes to the harlot to pleasure themselves.
Yes, sir.
And what does a harlot get in exchange? Money.
Mm. Wow.
Or another drug fix or something.
So, Coach, anyways, this is the thing I struggle with. And Webster's, I got a Webster's dictionary. And I didn't realize it, but there's several different editions, and mine's about one of those ones about 6 inches thick. But it says Webster at one point defined traditional as uninspired. So if you want to go to the traditional service of something that's uninspired that makes you feel good, Gloria Olstein got on. It's on YouTube. She says, I come here to sing, not for God, I come here to sing to make me feel good. Amen. Gloria, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty, right? And she's only describing what the majority of people when they go to church make me feel good.
Amen.
Thanks for letting me share.
Well, Dave, that's good. Let me throw a good activity out there. I never mean what I say as criticism of any pastor. And I couldn't be one. I probably could. I could, but I couldn't be one. I couldn't do what pastors do. So I love pastors. I'm not trying to besmirch them. Okay. Please understand. I really, really mean that. Here's what I think. You want to do something big in your church, pastors or elders out there? This Sunday, last Sunday, next Sunday, some Sunday, say, is there anyone out here, anyone here in this church that has a financial need? If you have a financial need, would you please stand up? Now, they're going to be embarrassed. They're not going to want to do it. But they will. And then say, when they stand up, the two of them that are honest, and look across the congregation and say, would anybody like to go help meet this need? See what happens. Because, see, we've been taught to funnel our money to the church rather than to the need. We have to break that. Because I can tell you this, if you stand up and you fill that need, there will be a love bond between the two of you that you will never break. You understand that? It's one thing to say, be filled, be warm and be filled. I'm praying for you, brother. And to reach into your pocket and pull out 200 bucks that you were saving to do whatever you were going to do with. And whether we want to understand this or not, you're most like Jesus when you give. I'm not asking you to send money to me. Stop it. You're most like Jesus when you give. Jesus met needs. He didn't put demands. He didn't teach. I'm sorry. The Old Testament ties its Old Testament, in my opinion. Freely you received, freely give. Now, I just want to encourage you during this holiday season, when you're out and about, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, while I'm in goodwill today, show me somebody who really needs some help. And let me fill that need. Not invite them to my church. Just fill that need. Brett, come on in.
Coach, I don't mean to rain when you pray, but how many people carry $200 cash, $200 worth of cash to give it away? How many out there carry $200 worth of cash right now?
Yeah,
I do.
Well, maybe they don't have $200 worth of cash because they won't let go of what's in their hand so that God can multiply it. That'd be my thing. My point is, take 200 with you. Go get 200 out that you're holding on to with all your might and bless some family that's, hey, they, who knows why they're in the mess they're in. Yeah, maybe they got a drug problem. Maybe they got a gambling, whatever. Reality is, look at that family and those kids, and they love their children just as much as you love yours. Jack.
The point is, be intentional.
Be intentional. Be intentional. Don't say, I gave to the church. Let the church take care of them. Find somebody and help them. Dale.
And that's exactly what happened last week, Coach. I was in line at Dollar General, right? And this lady, she had tattoos all over her face. And I saw the lady before me give her a track, and that was it. I walked up. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what her situation was. But the Holy Spirit told me to give her $100. You want to talk about... the waterfalls, married with her husband, living in a van. They're both working because they can't afford rent.
Wow.
We've got to be sensitive, Coach. It's not about giving it away. And then I gave her my wife's text. They've been texting back and forth. I didn't invite her to church. Coach, that's the when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit to give to when he tells us. And he says, so I do this. I don't. go around sharing those testimonies. But Coach, I do this because I've been on the streets and I know what it is to be blessed.
That's why I wear my cross hat. So they make the connection to this guy who gave me this gift. See you tomorrow.